Hi, this is Eric and Beth Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we're in the Working of Miracles module, and today Beth is with me. We're going to go over questions and answers in hopes of just helping bring a more clear, fuller understanding so that by the time we're done with this module, we're going to have a new capacity in us to believe God for this gift to be in operation, not just in our own personal lives, Beth, but so that when we pray that God release it into the body of Christ, raise up laborers who are called working of miracles. And so let's go into questions and answers, and let me open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now. Lord, direct this time. We believe it's important to go over questions and answers, and we ask for your wisdom, because these gifts, these anointings, this power, it comes from you. And so, Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Beth, what would the first question be?
I would say the first question would be, what is a good definition for the working of miracles?
Yeah, that's great. And I think Howard Carter, who I believe that God gave these definitions to help the church clearly kind of line upon line, precept upon precept, to rightly divide how these operations of God, how they work. And so Howard Carter says, we might say that it is the supernatural demonstration of the power of God by which the laws of nature are altered, suspended, or controlled, excepting in the course or the sphere of disease. And so what he's doing here immediately is separating the working of miracles from the gifts of healings. And we're going to touch on that, but that is a very good definition.
Okay, good. So what would you say is the main purpose for the working of miracles?
Yeah, there's purpose in these, and that's important. Well, I think the first thing that when it comes to God's desire for miracles, because this comes from God. God is the one who set miracles in the church, and I believe the first thing is it when miracles happen, it is a sign of his presence and of his power. Number two, sometimes there's a miraculous provision of needs being met. And for example, the lady, she had a financial debt. Her children were going to be sold into slavery to pay the debt. And the prophet says, well, take as many vessels as you can and begin to pour what little oil you have into them and fill them. And so this would be the working of miracles because she had to enact. Mm-hmm. She had to do something. She didn't sit there and just receive oil-filling vessels. She had to use her faith, gather, and to enact. And as she did, as long as she did, there was a miracle. So that's a very good example. So that was a provision of need. But also, the working of miracles brings a confirmation of the Word of God, ties it together. It brings it into the open where the natural man can see something, and then in that begin to look towards the things of God. And Beth, I'm kind of thinking about when Jesus said, you know, concerning the Holy Spirit, the world doesn't know him. You know him. So why are the gifts of the Spirit, in this case, the working of miracles, powerful? Is because when the Word of God is preached, they don't know the Holy Spirit, but when he manifests, he can be seen. Mm-hmm. And then he always exalts Jesus, the Word of God. And, you know, I think number four, Beth, is that it gives evidence of a divine commission. And Howard Carter, he talks about Moses and his rod. And it just kind of was a sign and a seal of God's calling on that man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's four examples mm-hmm. of why does God use miracles? Mm-hmm. And I think that's good.
And, you know, we use the word miracles in a general sense often, and even the Bible uses the word miracles in a general sense. But what would you say is the difference between using miracles in a general sense of the term and the gift of the Holy Spirit called the working of miracles?
Yeah, you know, that is probably one of the best questions. There, anytime God's power manifests, we love to call it a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not wrong, because what we're saying is,
God did it.
That's exactly yeah. right. God did something. Right. God moved. And in the English language, of course, that's the language that we speak. Man, it just really means God.
Yeah.
But there is a difference between the general term miracle and the actual charisma gift that's listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That the Holy Spirit gives to one, what? A working of miracles. And so that's different. And so when we opened up this session, this teaching, we said, well, let's define what the working of miracles is. It's that energy of God put forth into a direction. It empowers a person to do the impossible, to do something that alters what? The laws of nature, or suspends them for a season. And so it's God's power enabling someone to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, Beth, the gift of faith is God's power in a receiving operation. It's all God's power. It's all miraculous in a general sense. But there is a difference.
Right. Between, such as Daniel in the lion's den.
Oh, that's right.
Receive the gift of faith.
And, you know, Beth, and I think a lot of times, and I hear pastors talk about this or say this, is that they link miracles to healings because, you know, someone needs a miracle, meaning they need a healing.
Sure, sure.
But technically, the gifts of healings are different than the workings of miracles. Because these gifts, how they operate in the sphere of disease, mm-hmm. in the sphere of sickness, in the sphere of, technically, the human body,
mm-hmm.
in this case. And it's interesting, because when you think about it, Beth, God created man in his image and likeness. And this gifts of healings is pertaining to man made in the image of God. And so this operation of the Holy Spirit is designed to restore man to the original image.
Okay.
The working of miracles, on the other sense, is to empower man to do the impossible.
Okay.
Such as walking on water.
Mm-hmm.
Such as leaping over troops and whatever, running through troops and leaping over walls.
Mm-hmm.
That's all in the realm of miracles. Or, you know, one of my favorite, it's Samson. He grabbed a lion and did the impossible. With his hands, he killed the lion. David
right.
did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a difference between the working of miracles and a general term. Oh, man, that's miraculous.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with saying that.
Of course not.
but concerning this study, the gifts of the workings of miracles mm-hmm. is different. So, yeah, that's a great question. Great question.
Well, why does it seem that the working of miracles occurred more in the Old Testament than in the New Testament?
You know, that's a great, great question. And I'm not sure. I mean, we can come up with general answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one reason why is that in the Old Testament, they didn't have Bibles.
Right.
And so God had established his word to the nation of Israel. They knew about God through Moses, the law, but people couldn't go home and open their Bible and just fellowship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would see these seasons where God would come, he would send the prophet, and the first thing, God, through a sign and a wonder, he would, what, get their attention, manifest his presence, and put his seal of approval, first of all, on the man he sent, and then second, to get them to listen to what he says.
Yes.
And I think that's because they didn't have Bibles.
Mm-hmm.
And so you and I can go and have a Bible and open it, and God says you're accountable.
So we're required. There's more required of us.
Oh, huge.
Hugely. Access to the Word of God.
Huge.
On a daily basis.
That's right. Whereas they didn't.
Right.
They went home to their tents. They didn't have an iPhone where they had a Bible on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or Bibles, you know, on a shelf. Look at all my translations.
Yeah.
Right. No, they said, oh, you know, we got into sin and God sent a prophet and man, it thundered out there. God is the only one who could have done that. And we listened to what he said and we've repented.
Right.
And so I think in the Old Testament, that's why it was there. But in the New Testament, when Jesus came, his ministry was the manifested mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that healing is the greatest example of God's mercy in manifestation.
Yes.
The Creator caring, lifting his creation called man.
So along with that, what would you say is the role of faith as it pertains to the working of miracles?
Well, that is a powerful question, because in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, there is a gift called the gift of what? Faith.
Right.
Or in the Bible calls it faith.
And then we have the general faith that we live by.
Right. So, yeah. And in fact, when in the actual module on the gift of faith, we talk about four different types of faith.
Mm-hmm.
God is a faith God. There's not just one form of faith.
Right.
And we have to understand, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And really, it's impossible to operate with God, because God is a faith God. And Jesus talked about faith all the time, to the point that the disciples said, Lord, can you increase our faith? Now, when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are all distinct. The gift of faith is not the working of miracles. Prophecy is not the word of wisdom. Tongues is not the gifts of healings. They're all distinct. They're all separate. But every one of them requires the person possessing to have faith in operation. And so that faith in operation is what we call the fruit of faith, meaning you've built it through God, you have a relationship with the Lord, and that fruit of faith is operating so that when the Holy Spirit goes into manifesting these gifts, the individual, such as, let's say, Peter walking on the water, he launched out in faith, but he was walking in the gifts of the working of miracles. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the gift of the Spirit in operation was miracles, but Peter was required to use his faith. So the problem wasn't with the working of miracles. That's not why he began to drown. It was because he went from faith into fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just a great example to understand, in the working of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, everybody is required to be using their faith. And when you pull back from your faith, then that gift in its operation begins to weaken and it doesn't produce the fruit.
And we hear of stories of people, maybe we know people, that received a miracle or healing or some act of God that had no faith at all. They weren't even saved, but there was somebody using their faith for them, praying for them, a relative or somebody or a church praying for them. So faith was still in operation for that person.
You know, and I tell you, when you asked that, you really helped me, because that is also a great point, but it's also a great question, because in the healing revival in the 40s and 50s, a lot of people were healed, But there were also people who received their healings in the meetings, mm-hmm. and 10 days later, they went right back into the same infirmity or sickness
right.
that they had originally been healed from.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, Brother Eric, how could that happen? Well, this is another point. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, though they're distinct from each other, they also come with a measure of faith for their operation. Meaning Jesus is in heaven and he's praying for us.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says all that the Father has is, it belongs to Jesus. And then the Bible says the Holy Spirit takes from Jesus and he makes it known to us. How does that happen? Well, Jesus is interceding. He's praying for us.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, listen, it's yes and amen. That is my prayer life for you. It's not no, I don't like you, you're ugly, you're fat. It's yes, it's amen, I'm praying for you. And the Holy Spirit will take from the great yes and amen, Jesus, and then he comes and there's that realm of the Lord's faith. He says, I'm praying that your faith won't fail. So when the Lord is praying, there is faith in operation.
Yes.
Now, the minister, the healing evangelist, he's got to be using his faith in order to walk out there, preach the gospel, so that that gift and operation of the Lord's prayer life that's manifesting the Holy Spirit through this individual can begin to release the Lord's compassion. But the individual receiving must also receive by faith,
mm-hmm.
meaning you receive it and you hang on to it.
Right, right.
And that's where often there is a breakdown. Now, let me say this. Peter received the power of God and he began to walk on the water. Just like people in a meeting can receive healing and go home with eyes that see, ears that hear. But like Peter, he began to look at the wind, the waves, or in this case, they began to feel something. And then they began to let go of what God gave.
Mm-hmm.
Peter sank. And there's been many examples. I've been in meetings where I saw people healed dramatically and then watch them do what they couldn't do, and then a month later they're back in the same problem.
Right.
Well, they did a Peter. They began to pay attention to other things and they let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So that can happen, and the Bible gives us examples. Jesus is a faith Jesus, and we're called to be faith people. And So there is a whole operation of faith. The Lord is praying. He's releasing his faith. The minister, he's releasing his
mm-hmm.
faith.
Mm-hmm.
But those in the congregation, those listening, have to also take hold of things by faith as well.
Right, right.
The Bible says the man listening to Paul preach, he had faith to be healed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Powerful.
Well, I also know, you know, and we know this firsthand, and you know other people who have been praying and interceding for probably a loved one or a friend and maybe a baby that doesn't, you know, can't have faith on their own or an unsaved person, and they are miraculously delivered or protected or something happens just out of that person using their faith in prayer. But I do see that eventually, because that person is being prayed for and propped up with faith, and God is intervening, that eventually they are required to come into their own relationship with God and have faith.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you, the Lord's merciful to us. And he's the one who judges. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And he works with all of us in the same way, but also in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's working with us to build us, to nurture us, and to enrich us in the words of faith so that we're a faith people. So very interesting. I thought that was a very good question. So anything else?
That's all.
That's where, well, we're going to come to an end there. And listen, with these studies, I don't think they're a one-time study. I think you have to go over them and go over them in order to number one, keep doubt and unbelief out. And I also think you got to pray in these things. And that's what causes us to mature, mm-hmm. mature in our Christian walk. And Jesus declared, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it. And so I think that as we go through these modules, you need to take notes and say, okay, Lord, this is going to be a part of my prayer life. I'm going to build this into me so that I am seated strongly on the rock.
Yes.
And in that, I tell you what, the gates of hell can't prevail against us. So will you close us in prayer, Beth? And
yes.
Let's just seal this in prayer.
Father, thank you for this wonderful gift of the working of miracles. And I want to specifically thank you, Lord, that these gifts are not just for Moses and Elijah and Elisha, people in the Old and New Testaments that were great men and women of God, but Lord, they're for your church. They're for your body. They belong to us. Jesus paid the price for us to walk in these things. So Lord, I pray for all of us that you would teach us, that you would help us, that you would instruct us, that you would increase us in this gift, Lord, we're specifically asking for. Show us, Lord, the operation and how to operate in it. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Hey, listen, go to our website at www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you. He's coming soon. We need to be ready for him. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.